Thank you, honey.
For those who don't know it, I don't call every scripture reader honey. That's actually my wife. In case you're a visitor and didn't know that. So, how many of you have figured it out by now that I have serious ADHD? No, really. Okay. I was diagnosed. My mom suspected it when I was younger. But they said no. But then when I was in seminary, it was a supervisor on my chaplaincy training program that questioned it. And then, so, you know, kind of referred me to a doctor. And he's like, yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. You got ADHD, you know. So it was kind of, what was cool and redeeming about it is he said, well, here's the deal. You know, a kid, adult, whatever, with ADHD, it's not that you're stupid. See, and some of you thought that I was just an idiot, and it's not that. Well, anyway, probably not that. So he said, actually, your mind is overly active. And actually, because it's so overly active, requires you like a lot of stimuli. And so, like, especially in class, if you're not getting a lot of stimuli, that's why you're just checking out, and you know, and so it made perfect sense. It's like, that's why on a lot of my report cards when I was little, it was like, well, Stephen's a very nice boy, but he's always just kind of staring out the window, you know? I mean, this is why I almost flunked fifth grade, really. You know, I really struggled in school as a young kid. ADHD, you know, but what's happening is, it's like there's that kind of hyperactivity, but attention deficit. What is it, AD? It used to be ADD, attention deficit disorder. Now they added the H, and that fits for me, the attention deficit hyper disorder or something like that. Anyway, and so my mind can just be going 1,000 different directions, all right? So as I was looking at my sermon notes this morning, I'm going, oh man, I was very ADHD when I was working on my sermon. And here's kind of how it went, you know, because I knew that what I wanted to do was to preach off of this hymn, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. By the way, probably one of my very all-time favorite hymns. And yet it's so few people know it. You know, it's this obscure hymn that almost nobody has ever heard of or sung. It's not sung very often. And I think it's because the melody's kind of lame, and I'll talk about that later. Again, ADHD. Anyway, so I wanted to preach on this as part of this sermon series on, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which Elizabeth just read. It comes from both an Ephesians text and also there in Colossians 3 when Paul says, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. So, you know, part of that sermon series, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, great hymn, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, I want to, you know, teach it to you and everything. And it's a psalm, a hymn of consecration. A hymn of consecration. That's one of those technical, theological words. And what does that mean? Well, kind of like I was trying to explain to the kids, it's about giving your whole life over to God and just that God might consecrate your life. Take it, anoint your life, you know, with your whole self, with his spirit, and that God would be able to use your life and all that you have for his will, his purposes. So that's really what consecration is about. And so, you know, and I just, this hymn just so spells that out in a beautiful way of you know, how, you know, with all that I have, my mind, my heart, and my whole life, given to God. And so it's a hymn of consecration. But I was thinking too along the lines, okay, so as I and oftentimes do, I'm looking up all the scripture behind the hymn. And it was totally Colossians 3. And so just from that passage that Elizabeth read, you're going to see if you compare the words from that Colossians 3 text to the words in the hymn, it's so much of it's right there. So yeah, that should be the sermon text, right? But then yeah, I'm sitting thinking going, yeah, but why would you give your life over to God? I mean, there's got to be people kind of asking that question. My life's fine, you know. I mean, I kind of like being in control of my life, don't we all? Let's be honest. So why would I want to surrender my life even to God, you know? I mean, allowing him to just do what he wants in and through me, I kind of even a little freaky, you know? I mean, his Holy Spirit in me taking control, that's like spiritual possession there. You know, again, a little freak. Why would you? So I'm sitting there thinking, you know, why and everything. And then in my devotions, I came across Numbers 14, and I was like, oh, I love this. And I love Caleb, the character Caleb in the Old Testament. You know, a lot of us, we know about Joshua. And Joshua succeeded Moses, and it was Joshua that led the people into the promised land. It was Joshua, the great warrior. He was the general and everything. You hardly ever hear about Caleb, but Caleb was the other guy in the story right next to Joshua, who was, those were two of the 12 spies sent ahead by Moses to check out the promised land. And so the 12 spies went out. So maybe I need to give you a little bit more context here, I don't know, but you know, so they've come out of Egypt, they come out of slavery, God has delivered the Israelites out of slavery. With tremendous miracles God did to bring them out of slavery. And with God's strong hand, he totally defended them from the powerful Egyptians, the most powerful nation. And their army was bearing down on them. And God opened up the waters. They all passed through on dry ground. And when the army tried to follow, boom, they were just, the waters came crushing down and just devastated the army. So, you know, God has delivered them. Now they're on their way to the promised land, as God has promised to them. And so these 12 spies, leaders from one from each of the 12 tribes, are supposed to go out. Well, they come back, and what they found was, oh, yeah, absolutely, wonderful place. Like God said, a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, I mean, it was rich and verdant. I mean, it, you know, in fact, they brought back, you know, some of the produce. And it just, you know, huge clusters of grapes and everything. I mean, just as evidence and everything. But what they saw there, too, were these very fortified cities and people of great stature, great size, and a very powerful people. 10 of the spies freak out. And they don't just freak out, but they start, it says they give a bad report to the people. And so what they're doing is they're just going up, they're going, you can't believe what this, I mean, these people were huge, and they start to exaggerate. They were just literally just giants. I mean, we looked like grasshoppers in their eyes, and that's the way they looked at us, like we were little grasshoppers. Dudes, we go in there, we're going to get crushed, we're going to be destroyed, it's going to be awful. How could God do this to us? Not only they're spreading a bad report, they're kind of poisoning people's minds, turning their minds against God, against Moses, against Aaron. All of a sudden, the people are just freaking out, and they're just going nuts. And they're talking about, man, we should just go back to Egypt. I mean, hey, let's elect some leaders. Let's get rid of these guys here. Let's just go back to Egypt. Remember when back in Egypt, man, things weren't so bad there. Really? They're literally getting ready to stone Moses and Aaron. And Joshua and Caleb, because Joshua and Caleb, as opposed to the other 10, they're going, no. Here's the deal. Yeah. They're fortified cities. And these people are big, but God is with us. And they are so remembering, you know, God's amazing deliverance from Egypt. And how God crushed Pharaoh's army. That's why I put in the sermon notes. I mean, Caleb has the memory of an elephant because he remembers and he doesn't forget. Everybody else seems to be forgetting this in the moment. They're remembering God's displays of power. And Caleb's going, and both Caleb and Joshua are going, y'all, come on, we can do this. God is with us. They don't have the protection we do. And so in the midst of all this, the people are getting ready to stone Moses and Aaron. They're wanting to go back to Egypt. God appears. And he is ready. He is so spitting mad. He is ready to just torch them all. And that's what he says to Moses. I can just start over with you and just create a whole new nation out of you. I'm going to torch them all. And it's Moses. Oh, You gotta love Moses' heart. I mean, if it had been me, I might have been very tempted. I mean, people are ready to stone me. It's like, yeah, God, do it. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Moses falls on his face before the Lord, and he's pleading for the people. Don't do it, God. Don't do it. And he asks God to forgive the people. And God says, all right, I will forgive them, but none of those people are going into the promised land. No, here is my punishment. For the next 40 years, this generation is going to wander in the desert and they're going to die here. Their children will be able to go into the promised land. None of those 40. And by the way, the 10 spies that spread the bad report and everything, right then and there, were struck with a plague and killed. I mean, God just took them down. But he promises, but Joshua and Caleb, no, they will see the promised land. You know, they, and what I loved about Joshua and Caleb was both their faith, but, and especially in Caleb's case, his passion. Let me tie this in. This hymn, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, it is a hymn of faith and passion. You can just, it's dripping with passion. And I really see Caleb is the kind of guy that exhibits that kind of faith and passion, because it's 40 or I think 45 years later goes by. Because after the 40 years, everybody else dies out, and it's still Joshua and Caleb and then all the children of that next generation. And at a certain point, Caleb approaches Joshua. They've now come into the promised land, and now their responsibility is to go and take the promised land, but they have to literally go and fight for it and take on, you know, these fortified cities and everything. I love it. Caleb says to Joshua, listen, you remember God's promise to me? He promised me specifically on that day that I could have that particular land, that area in Goshen. You know that land with all the giants, fortified cities? He goes, I'm 85 years old, and I still am ready for battle. And I love it. I mean, you know, I was just thinking, it's kind of like, that's the kind of faith I want to have. You know, when I grow up, I want to be like Caleb. Do we? When you grow up, you know, when you're 85, man, I hope you just, I'm ready. I'm ready for the battle. Yeah, let's go for it. I'm 85 years old. He is ready to take on the giants. And he does. He and his clan take them on. They win Goshen, and they settle there. I mean, just faith and passion. The faith and passion that he exhibited. And here's the deal. I mean, he was sold out to God. And his faith was so real that even the giants could not get him to back down. What are the giants, quote unquote, what are the giants in your life? What are the things that, maybe there's something today that's freaking you out. Maybe there's something that just seems absolutely impossible. I mean, maybe it's a situation outside of yourself. Maybe it's inside. Maybe it's that unconquerable, seemingly impossible to conquer sin or dysfunction or messed up area of my life. What's the giant, or what are the giants in your life that just seem impossible? The faith of Caleb is the kind of faith that would say, they're giants. They're big, they're powerful, but God is bigger. And I'm going to trust in him. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when. I don't know the details. I will trust in him. I'm turning it over to him. I'm asking him to take over the responsibility of this. And then I'm just going to trust. And then I'm going to be ready. So that when he calls, I don't care if I'm 20, I don't care if I'm 40, I don't care if I'm 85, I am ready to take on that giant. That's the faith of Caleb. And it's this passion that he has too. And so, here, all right, so let's talk a little bit about this song, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. And I just want to briefly go line by line through it, verse by verse, and I want to pull out, first of all, this is the passionate prayer of somebody who not only has given their life over to God to be consecrated, but even daily, it's just, this is how I work that out. This is, Lord God, this is what consecration is. Lord, and so it starts out with, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day by his love and power, controlling all I do and say, God, you have complete control, and I want you to have control. And wouldn't that be cool anyway? Could you imagine if God, who is love, had complete control over everything you did and said? What would be the result? Would it not just be God's powerful love impacting everything you do and every word you say to everyone you meet? Honestly, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh yeah, God, have my mind. Just may it be Christ's mind in me. And that's so scriptural too. And then the next verse, may the word of God dwell richly in my heart. And I just, a little bit, you know, I read a little bit in the morning, then go on and get on my, no. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. So giving all the credit, I mean, anything I accomplish, any good that happens through me, you know, for me, with me, that's God. That's God. And that's why, too, it's in Colossians 3:17, you know, it specifically says, too, may the word of Christ dwell richly in us. And as we speak to one another, and as we sing songs, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and so our language should be so rich with Scripture, dripping with Scripture, that it's just so obvious. This person is of God, and anything that good that happens, it's of God. And then, actually, I switch around. Anyway, so I'll tell you about it later. That's the ADHD going, okay, I'm going in a different direction. But all right, verse 3, may the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Could you imagine God just pouring his love into you as the waters fill the sea? Just love, just powerful. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. And the point is, the more I empty myself of myself, the more he can fill me with himself. Yeah, a little almost mind twister there. The more I empty myself of myself, the more God is able to fill myself with himself and with his love. Just powerfully, as the water fills the sea with his love. And then the next line, may the peace of God the Father rule my life in everything, so I may be calm to comfort the sick and the sorrowing. Ah, yeah, the peace that goes beyond understanding, guarding my heart and my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This perfect peace, as Isaiah 26 says, perfect peace all over me, in me, through me. And then with that peace, being able to comfort those who are sick and those who are sorrowing. Oh, that would be wonderful. That's consecration being played out. And then verse 5, may I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe. Think of Caleb. Think of Caleb. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe. I'm 85 years old and I am ready. Yeah. I love the passion here. Looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. That's the secret too. You can face any enemy, whether enemies outside or enemy inside. I've always said, I am my own worst enemy. It's not even the devil, because he has no sway over me except that I give it to him. So whether your enemy is yourself or any enemy out there, looking only unto Jesus as I onward. If I can keep my focus on Jesus, if I can keep my eyes on Jesus, everything else falls into place. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. all these other things you're worried about, all these things just fall into place. That's Jesus' promise to us. That's how we can even take on the giants, looking only unto Jesus. And I love verse 6. I quote it often. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Oh, yeah. Again, in consecration, God, so much of it's you. I'm just clothed with Christ. I'm clothed with his righteousness. The aroma of Christ is so pervasive in me. The aroma of Christ. That's what Paul says. For we are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So as I go out to seek the lost, that all they see, they don't even see me. I'm just the channel. They just see God. Now that would be awesome. That's the way I want to live my life. Why is it that this hymn and these words are just so powerful? The first time I heard them, I was a college student, and I was just awestruck by it. A little aside, I wanted to say too, sometimes, you know, when it comes to hymns especially, maybe I'm talking to younger people here, we tend to kind of just dismiss them because it's not my style, and Maybe it's with some of the modern worship songs, though. Maybe you're dismissing them. That kind of style. I just focus on the words. So, you know, today we had Mary and Tori up here, leading, and so we had hymns. Next week, actually, it's the kids take over church. You got to be here next week. That's going to be a lot of fun, I guarantee it. But like when Greg's doing the worship leading, even if you don't like the style, focus on the words. And let the words draw you into worship. Because the words can be so awesome and they can so connect me to God. And that's what happened. I was a college student. I listened to this, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, this song. And I was just so impacted. I committed the hymn to memory. And it has been a constant source of blessing to me. You know, and like I said, I quote different verses often, either to myself or to others. But I think the reason that this hymn is so little known is because the melody is kind of, it's sing-songy and almost infantile. I mean, you just heard how powerful the words are, right? Here's how the melody goes. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Kind of lame. I think that's why, I mean, these words are just as powerful as we sang a little earlier, take my life and let it be consecrated, which is much better known as a hymn of consecration. But I think it's because, you know, people aren't really struck with the melody here. I've always complained about it, but I figured out while doing research on this hymn why. So the woman who wrote it, little's known about her and everything, but the hymn first came out in 1925. Where is it that it talks about this? And it was published first in the London Children's Hymn Book entitled Golden Bells. It was published in a children's hymn book. This was meant to be a children's song. Therefore, it's kind of sing-songy and kind of infantile and da-da-dum, da-da-dum-dum. Well, that makes sense. All right. It was meant to be a hymn for kids. Anyway, so we're going to sing it later. We're going to sing the regular melody and everything. But I reworked the melody, all right? It's not a melody. The one I created isn't one that goes well for like a congregational singing. The range goes really high and really low and everything. And it's more meant, I guess, as a solo. But what I tried to do was capture the passion in it. Anyway, you can give me your opinion later, but this is how, this is what I wrote. And here, can I ask a favor? Don't listen like to critique. Oh, I like it, I don't. Try and, if I can be so bold, use it to connect with God in worship. And especially in talking about consecration, that's the point of this whole sermon anyway. Consecration, to give your life fully over to God And this psalm, this hymn, I'm sorry, really gets at that, all right? So if it is your will and desire to give your life over to God and that he might consecrate your life, then even as I sing, just be praying that prayer, that thought. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his loving power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God the Father rule my heart in everything, so I may be called to comfort the sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the water fills the sea, him exalting, self-abasing. Lord, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. I just want to close then by noting the great difference between the rest of the Israelites and Joshua and Caleb. Who do you want to be like? Do you want to be somebody who, when confronted with the giants, you cave, and not only cave, you turn bitter toward God? Why would you allow this? Or do you want to have the faith like Joshua and Caleb? It says, they are big, but my God is bigger. And I remember what he has done, and I will believe that he will be faithful to do it. If there's any question as to why should I give my life in consecration, read Numbers 14. You will see the results. Because those who have that faith and that passion and are given over to God, God's promises always come true for them. On the contrary, those who cave, those who become bitter, those who turn away from God, it's just bad. It's just a bad end, a bad result. So my prayer, my plea with you is, if you haven't already, just turn your life over to God. Turn it, but I mean completely. Like I was telling the kid, don't be an Indian giver. Give it over to him completely. Trust him completely. And know that he is going to do powerful, wonderful things in and through your life. And even if there's bad stuff in the past, he will redeem it. He's not looking back at your sin. Oh, God be praised. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgressions from his sight. He's only looking forward, and he wants to bless. That's good reason why to turn your life over to Christ. So please do consider that. And God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.